Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series, your audio source for international produce markets, trends, market reports, and community discussion. Join us somewhere in the world as we cover all aspects of the international produce and supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your host, Juanita Galio.
Welcome, fresh produce aficionados, wherever you are tuning in from in the world. Welcome. You've just landed at the Global Fresh Series, your passport to freshness. And I'm your host, Juanita Galio, coming to you from Long Beach, California, where the world's orchards, fields, and markets come together in one vibrant, blended salad bowl of stories, trends, and insight. I'm going to take you from farm to fork and every stop in between. We're serving up the voices, innovations, and global connections that keep the fresh produce industry thriving. So grab your favorite snack or beverage, settle in, and let's take a delicious journey and healthy one, one fresh story at a time. This week, we're going to talk about last week, which was a big week for all of us as the fresh produce industry gathered under the Florida sunshine, albeit cold, for one of the most relationship-driven events of the year, Southern Exposure. This annual event is hosted by the Southeast Produce Council, held in Tampa, Florida. The Produce Industry Network attended, covering not only the show, but all the important events that were available. This year's theme was From Field to Families, Nourishing Our Nation. There was Southern Root Women's Luncheon featuring food loyalist speaker Molly Yeh. But coming off the Winter Olympics, I remember last year's luncheon featured an Olympic gold medalist. I wish I could remember her name, but I just still remember giving her a presentation was outstanding. And she was able to pass around her gold medal. Everyone had a chance to hold it. I did. And I was surprised how heavy that gold medal was. So if you have never attended Southern Exposure, it's different from the mega shows. It's Southern hospitality at its best, with intimate yet powerful strategic and relationship heavy. This is where deals start with a handshake and continue with long-term partnerships. And I can attest to that. As we attended the JOH reception the night before of the event, and it was so nice. It was about 40, 50 people outside near the swimming pool. It was just so relaxed. It was so easy to move around and meet a lot of different people from different parts of the country who are involved in the supply chain of fresh produce and hear their take on what is happening in their area. It was like putting your finger to the pulse, your ear to the ground. So Patrick and I were on the ground, speaking about the ground. We captured the booth interviews. We walked the floor. We spoke with growers, retailers, technology innovators, and industry leaders. Today, I'm going to be giving you some highlights of the show. Because once those doors open, it was amazing to visit the exhibitors who are so dedicated to their products. Historically, this show has always been well attended by retailers, which gives the growers, shippers, wholesalers, food, anyone who's there, an opportunity to strengthen those relationships and grow their brand awareness. And you'll see, as I talk about the education workshops, how all this comes into play. Because this has always been a relationship-driven industry, and the Southern hospitality shows no bounds to driving that message. This is a show that people take their time visiting the exhibitors. I have seen conversations that have taken place over an hour or more, having to circle back to see, is that person free yet to chat? No. An hour later, they're still standing there talking because they're not just talking business. These are people who have established friendships over 20, 30 years. Now the friendships have blossomed and seen one another just a few times a year to trade shows. Suddenly they're talking about not only the grandchildren, but their children and going to college and the marriages and vacations. It's really exciting to see this vibe at a trade show, these smaller localized or regional trade shows. They're now talking about the grandchildren. Tell me about, instead of just your new package wrap or variety, they can now talk about what their grandchildren like in the produce department. Before continuing on with the educational workshops, which were really quite interesting and they're always very well done and well attended, let's take a moment to recognize one of our first class sponsors who was at Southern Exposure. And I hope you had a chance to meet her, CEO of Peak of the Market, Pam Kolachuk. Patrick and I are always excited to have the opportunity to meet with Pam, spend some time with her and her director of sales, Derek, who was attending. I hope you saw her on the floor and had a chance to hear one of her great potato stories. Because Peak of the Market is a true leader whose commitment to community involvement sets the gold standard for excellence. Their dedication goes far beyond the marketplace. They strengthen the communities they serve and reinforce the values that make the fresh produce industry so impactful. We're proud to partner with an organization that not only delivers quality, but also invests in their people, relationships, and a healthier future for all. So as we cut to commercial, let's get healthy. Grab a crisp apple, peel an orange, put a spaghetti squash in the oven, or smash an avocado. We'll give you just enough time to have a smart snack. As we cut to commercial, stay fresh. We'll be right back.
In Colombia, avocados aren't just grown. They're raised by rain that shapes volcanic soil, by mountains that touch the clouds, by hands that know this land like family. Creating fruit that's naturally creamier, velvety, tough-skinned, and ripened to perfection. Ready for the journey. 12 months of consistent supply. 620 certified orchards. Zero seasonal gaps. Colombian avocados, raised by Colombia. Ready to partner? Visit avocadoscolombia.com.
Welcome back, everyone. As I dance back into this second half of the show, if that commercial didn't inspire you to do a little bit of salsa dancing, then you better grab an avocado as well. So I'm glad to have you join me today. Last we left off, we were discussing this last week's Southern Exposure taking place in Orlando, Florida. Now, the first day started or began with two powerful educational sessions. The first one was the State of Agriculture with Bobby Cruz, Vice President of Produce and Floral at Target, leading the panel discussions on subjects ranging from production challenges and innovation to relationships with their suppliers to drive consumer consumption. For example, being strategic with packaging and sizes. My takeaway with this session is that farming is changing, it's evolving, and has become big business with contracts, AI, and managing labor. Success comes through stronger partnerships between the retail buyers and suppliers. What was discussed on the stage among all of this panel was that, you know, produce used to be the thing where you could pick up the phone and talk to the buyer because things change. There could be a storm, there could be a flood, wind, whatever, that changes that yield, that pack type, the size of the fruit. So the growers that were on the stage were saying it'd be really nice to be able to have this strong relationship with the retail buyers so that we could relay this information quickly and pivot. And this is where I'm saying that the produce industry has become so evolved that it's going along algorithms as well. But, you know, you like to be able to pick up the phone and say, knock out those algorithms and add in that we have an abundance of this, maybe a smaller fruit, which could also be an advantage to a retailer, especially if they don't necessarily carry the size of fruit. Maybe it's just a one-time special deal they could offer the consumer. And I'm going to talk about how this smaller size could also benefit sales with the grower and retailer a little bit later in my podcast. So the second session was called The Power of Produce 2026. It's always a favorite with everyone there because data analyst Anne-Marie Rornick is just a whiz when it comes to delivering the data. She's able to deliver it in bite-sized pieces so that we can understand what does it mean? What is trending? The good news for fresh produce is that 2025 dollar sales year-over-year dollars were up 3.1% at $97 billion. And That sector, fresh produce, ranked third in grocery dollar sales. Units were up, but they didn't seem to be as up as high as the dollars. They're at 1.8%, with consumers making more frequent shopping trips, but they were buying fewer items. Now, this was attributed to consumers placing importance on food waste, in particular with fresh produce, because we do know that 2025, I've seen it and I've heard it from many people, not in the fresh produce industry, but just on their shopping trips, how everything has gotten so much more expensive that rather than buy more produce and have it rot, they want to buy less and actually use it. Otherwise, you know, when produce gets thrown out, it's just a waste of dollars spent. So this was another big takeaway. And the other one was that the primary reason that consumers were eating fresh produce was due to health. And this also shows how the great job that many of the commodity commissions, for example, the Hass Avocado Board, let's see whom else was out there with them giving, they're really doing in-depth studies with how eating that commodity, the special nutrients it has to drive heart health or, sugar levels, preventing diabetes. And I think this is showing up now. The messages are getting across. What were the top growth powerhouses of 2025 in the fresh produce industry? In the fruit category, they were berries at $812 million, apples at $240 million, and oranges at $179 million. In the vegetable category, yams ranked number one at $98 million, broccoli came in second at $73 million, and garlic, of all things, at $51 million was third on the list. That was a powerhouse in the fresh produce among vegetables. Wow, people must be consuming a lot of garlic, but that garlic really drives positive health benefits as well. All 10 commodities in absolute dollar growth were attributed to fruit. So I found that quite interesting. And guess what? Digital media is here to stay. They found it played a major role in meal preparation with the fresh produce, capitalizing on the power of the social media channels. 29% of consumers have discovered a new fresh fruit or veggie through social media. 37% have discovered a new way to enjoy or prepare fresh produce. And 28% purchase a fresh produce item more often. Clearly, consumers look for all kinds of information when purchasing fresh produce. The big takeaway is data tells, but stories sell. So that goes hand in hand with back to consumers learning about fresh produce through social media, because 73% of consumers say that a farm story can turn into a purchase. That is why podcasts, in particular live streams on social media channels, are so important to deliver your message. On our podcasts, that is what it's all about, telling your story. We are the channel to broadcast to a wide audience and get that message out. And, you know, before social media, there was just magazines, maybe some commercial on TV. A lot of it was in-store merchandising. I don't think the fresh produce industry, except for maybe the much larger corporations, had the money to put commercials. But you look at it today and consumers are really bombarded. They're, on Instagram, on TikTok, on someone showing like dragon fruit. Have you seen this fruit? And, people ordinarily would not buy dragon fruit because it's pretty, but how do I eat it? Surprisingly enough, dragon fruit is so delicious and has had so many views on social media that it's now jumped up in rankings in terms of what people are buying within the fruit category. And I kind of want to use myself as an example because I saw a really interesting recipe that started out with two mangoes. It was for chicken. It sounded kind of odd. I thought, well, I'm going to try it. I'm in this industry. I got to see if how this works. And the fresh mangoes, that was the first step. You had to cube the two mangoes. Luckily, the mangoes I bought were very meaty. It had a lot of nice fruit on it. You put it in the pan with a little bit of oil, kind of, you know, glazed it down, removed it, finished the recipe at the very end of the recipe, which I'm not going to go into because I'll bore you to death. The very end of the recipe, that mango that you started with, you mash it up. So it's a little bit like mashed potatoes, maybe not that mashed, but you throw it back into the pot after everything's been cooked. And I'm telling you, there was some coconut milk there, a little bit of curry. It was absolutely unbelievable. I would never have thought to cook with mangoes, with chicken, with this a recipe like that. But this is, you know, I'm a great example. Here I'm in the industry, and I saw something on one of the social media channels and said, I got to try that. So anyway, let's recognize another one of our fabulous sponsor as we cut to commercial. So you can grab a carrot stick or peel an orange. We will be right back.
We know it's not easy getting your apples to peak quality and keeping them there on that long journey to retail and beyond. So AgroFresh is here with the integrated solutions to help you meet those challenges. We're in the orchard, where Harvista helps control ripening to boost quality and yield and simplify your harvest time. In storage, our SmartFresh technology secures that fresh-picked quality to maintain it all the way to the consumer's home. We're in the packhouse, too, with advanced solutions like ControlTech for handling coatings, fungicides, and a lot more. During shipping, you can even deploy SmartFresh smart tabs in containers or right in the box with SmartFresh Inbox. Through it all, our FreshCloud digital platform gives you real-time quality insights, keeping you in control right up to retail. With AgroFresh, it all works together and goes with you all the way. Get it going now at agrofresh.com.
Welcome back, Fresh Produce aficionados. If you are just joining us, a big welcome and thank you to all of our stellar sponsors that make this show possible. Continuing on with SCPC 2026, the data from the power of Produce 2026 is a positive story for the fresh produce industry. However, I found it interesting that there were two very important topics that were not mentioned during the presentation that both have a huge impact on promoting fresh produce. One was the impact of GLP-1 users. This has been a growing trend, so much so that even the airlines have stated that due to the wide use of GLP-1, they are saving on fuel as passengers lighten the load. That's pretty huge. So to give you an idea of the U.S. market, the data is out and the CPG sector has jumped on this data. The share of adults in the U.S. market using GLP-1 was 5.8% in 2024, and it jumped to 12.4% in 2025, and it's going to keep going up. 22% of those users are between 50 to 64 years of age, and 11% are between 30 to 49 years of age. Due to their lack of appetite, the CPG companies and food service have jumped on the marketing opportunities targeting this group and are designing special meals that are much smaller. And in food service restaurants, they're actually offering tailor-made meals that, again, are very small and allows them a selection of foods and, I guess, a very small bowl. And the most interesting thing that I just read is that conditions like scurvy are hitting this group as they forget to eat. So as they're forgetting to eat and maybe they're just munching on things, it's not meeting those nutritional needs. And they're actually seeing scurvy among this group. So citrus people, here is your opportunity to jump on this with smaller pack types. As I mentioned earlier in this broadcast that, sometimes we always thought a small fruit is, oh, no one's going to want this. But there's a huge audience now out there that would definitely like smaller fruit or smaller pack types as the CPG companies have jumped on this and they are packaging much smaller meals, takeaway meals for people that are GLP-1 users. And I just read today that ShopRite is actually offering a GLP kit that a dietitian's advice is in there. And I think it was the Fruitist Blueberry Company has put coupons in this GLP-1 kit. So there's a huge opportunity there for fresh produce companies, and I'm hoping that we'll seize it because I think this could be another door into increasing fresh produce. Second, the number one reason that there has been an increase in fresh produce sales is due to health. February was National Heart Health Month. I spoke about this in mid-February, but interestingly enough, I did not see any store signage or products messaging like eat an orange. It's good for your heart health, with February being National Heart Health Month. And as I mentioned, heart disease is a growing concern and affects everyone, with the WHO organization calling it a global pandemic. It would be great to see more messaging aligning with, you know, things like heart health, kidney, liver health initiatives. So let's stay healthy and keep eating all this wonderful fresh produce. Switching gears to trade shows, the next show on the horizon is Viva, April 16th to the 18th, hosted by the Texas International Produce Association, taking place in San Antonio, Texas. That's a wrap for today. Until next time, I'm Juanita Galio, and this is your reminder that behind every fruit and vegetable is a grower, a journey, and a global story. Stay fresh, stay inspired, and we'll meet again next week on the Global Fresh series. It's been such a pleasure having you join us today. And as we always say here at the Produce Industry Podcast, we'll see you somewhere in the world at one of these trade shows, somewhere in the aisles at one of these trade shows, in the orchards or on the horizon.
You've been listening to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series with Juanita Galio. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon to get new fresh episodes. For more, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Produce Industry Podcast. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.